The 82-year-old Biden and his family are reviewing treatment options with his physicians. Greg Clugston, the White House.
New Jersey transit trains return to service first thing tomorrow. The agency has a tentative deal to end a three-day strike by engineers. A pay dispute idled service for some 100,000 daily riders. On Wall Street, the Dow is down 225 points, NASDAQ off 263. More on these stories at townhall.com.
Mike Gallagher here, host of The Mike Gallagher Show. If you know me, you know I only put my name behind people and companies I trust. When it comes to mortgages, I trust Mike and Brian at Fellowship Home Loans. They're not just friends. They've done loans for me, my family. I've seen firsthand how they treat every client like their family. And these days, that personal touch really matters. With the cost of everything up, you might be looking for ways to free up cash. Maybe you're thinking about a cash-out refi or HELOC to finish some home projects, consolidate debt, or just get ahead financially. Fellowship is a full-service direct lender, not a broker. They cut out the middleman. That means faster decisions, fewer fees, and less stress. Whether you're buying your first home, downsizing, or refinancing to get some breathing room, they'll tailor fit the loan to your life. Get started at fellowshiphomeloans.com/MikeG. fellowshiphomeloans.com/MikeG or call 800-510-MIKE, 800-510-6453. Fellowship Home Loans, mortgage lending by the book.
Nationwide Mortgage Bankers, DBA Fellowship Home Loans, Equal Housing Lender, NMLS number 819382.
Good morning. It's 10:03. I'm Maggie Hunter with the latest headlines from the WCBM Maryland News Center, brought to you by Safe Retirement Solutions. The Allegheny County Department of Emergency Services has put together a page listing resources that can help residents recover from last week's flooding. County officials say the centralized page aims to keep residents informed, connected, and supported, and it includes information on available assistance programs, cleanup resources, and safety guidance. The county says that as the situation changes, additional resources will be offered so residents are encouraged to check the site on a daily basis. Two new speed cameras are going live today in Anne Arundel County school zones. The cameras are located on Duval Highway by High Point Elementary School in Pasadena and near Hebron Harmon Elementary School on Ridge Chapel Road in Hanover. The cameras will be in operation from 6 a.m. until 8 p.m. Monday through Friday. Drivers will have a 15-day warning period before citations are issued. Stein on Sports and the Fox 45 Weather Authority forecast next.
WCBM News is brought to you by Safe Retirement Solutions. Call Rod Barrowy at 410-266-1120. Call Rod Barrowy now at Safe Retirement Solutions, 410-266-1120.
Attention small business owners. Imagine cutting your overhead and putting more cash in your pocket. Whether you're a restaurant owner, hairdresser, doctor, lawyer, run a spa, HVAC company, or an electrician, your small business has untapped value. Bank the value of your expertise and spend it on what your personal or business needs. Why pay cash for products and services when you can trade your downtime and excess inventory? Barter Saves works with and helps thousands of local business owners in Maryland, D.C., Virginia, and surrounding areas. Visit bartersaves.com today or call 800-9-BARTER and turn what you already have into everything you need.
Rapid Radio's our instant push to talk walkie-talkies, offering national LTE coverage and no subscriptions ever. A great alternative to a mobile phone for your kids. For a limited time, go to rapidradios.com now for 60% off and free UPS shipping. Add code radio and get an extra 5% off.
Now, Gary Stein on sports.
Birds and Brewers tonight in Milwaukee. Dean Kramer on the hill for Baltimore with the first pitch at 7:40 as the O's at 11.5 back try to extricate themselves from the cellar in the AL East. Interim manager Tony Mancillino summing up the first 45 games of the year.
Listen, luck isn't the story, but it's part of the story. Injuries isn't the story, but it's part of the story. I think in due time, you'll see both those tides turn for us a little bit.
So without doing anything differently, Tony Mancillino would benefit from that, but not Brandon Hyde. Got it. NCAA lacrosse tournament, Maryland advances to the Final Four, 9-6 over Georgetown. Daniel Kelly at a Calvert Hall had a pair. Penn State outlasts two-time defending champ Notre Dame. 14-12 the final, Ethan Long out of Calvert Hall with three. The Final Four looks like this, Maryland and Syracuse, Penn State and Cornell. MIAA Conference Lacrosse Championship goes to Coach Brian Kelly and the Calvert Hall Cardinals. 10-9 the final over Spalding in overtime. The sixth title for Kelly and the Hall as a tandem. College baseball, the Johns Hopkins Blue Jays advancing to the NCAA Super Regional for the third straight year. The Jays are 42-3. They're the number one team in the country as they try to give 46-year head coach Bob Babb his first NCAA championship in his final season at the helm. And finally, MIAA Conference Baseball. John Carroll, under head coach Darian Seiler, takes down Calvert Hall to win the three-game series, 2-0. The Patriots winning their first ever A-Conference championship. Coming up in 30 minutes, how will Tony Mancelino handle the Birds? And that is Stein on Sports.
Do you need a new roof? Call Badger at 443-NEW-ROOF. At Badger Contracting, we inspect your roof, give you a free estimate, and work to improve and protect your home. We are a trusted local company that's worked on thousands of roofs, large and small. Call now, get a free estimate, 20% off your new roof, and a free gutter system. Call me, Barry Flax, at 443-NEW-ROOF. For immediate response, call 443-NEW-ROOF. Badger Contracting. Our job is your satisfaction.
At 10:07, here's the Fox 45 Weather Authority forecast.
Your Fox 45 forecast. We've got a bright and sunny day ahead of us and a warm one with highs in the upper 70s. Little breezy with winds gusting in from the northwest up to 25 miles an hour. Mostly clear and quiet tonight with lows falling back into the cool low 50s. From the Fox 45 Weather Authority, I'm meteorologist Amy Aronson for Talk Radio 680 WCBM.
Currently 67 in Essex, 63 in Owings Mills, and 66 in Moncton. I'm Maggie Hunter, 680 WCBM News.
Stay connected and informed.
Everybody, listen carefully.
Download the WCBM 680 mobile app at WCBM.com. Kim Plasic Live starts now. Woo! On Talk Radio 680 WCBM and 99.9 FM in Harford County.
All right, good morning, good morning. Happy Monday to all of you. Got quite the treat for you. I don't know what it is, but usually Democrats don't like to come on my show. I don't know, is it me? Is it me? Could be me, I don't know. But I'm very excited today because I have a Democrat joining us that many Republicans, many people in my circle, the MAGA Republicans even love. Good morning, State's Attorney Ivan Bates. How are you?
Hey, good morning, good morning, good morning. I am so good. I'm blessed. How are you doing?
I'm doing well. I got to first say congratulations on the engagement. I saw that not too long ago. It looks like you're doing well. You got the work-life balance all figured out.
I am trying. I'm trying. You know, I always think about you. One of the reasons I always tell people I just think you're so amazing is because you're just absolutely an amazing mother.
Oh, thank you.
I see the work that you put in, and I just love people that always put our families and our children first.
Yeah.
So I just want to thank those things that you do because it's so positive to see that.
No, I appreciate it. You're a good dad as well. I could tell that as well. State Attorney Ivan Bates, I'm going to jump right in. Of course, we got a lot of questions for you. We have some people that texted in their questions as well, but I wanted to start with a couple questions in regards to juvenile crime. Obviously, this is a huge topic of discussion, and we were just learning just last week, it seems, about the Sidestep program with DJS. My first question was, you know, when you learned about this Sidestep program, exactly when was that, and do you know whether or not former state's attorney Marilyn Mosby also utilized, I guess, or even just had the Sidestep program in place when she was a state's attorney? Do you know if she had any issues with it?
Well, first of all, I don't know if they utilized it back then. There's not a lot of information, unfortunately, in terms of some of the work that they were doing. I don't believe so because my team didn't really know that much about it. You know, Sidestep's a program. Interesting, it's not really DJS. It appears to be Monzi and BPD.
Okay.
The program that came about in 2022, I believe DJS was involved in, but I don't believe they're involved any longer. And basically, it was a diversion program. And so what does that mean? That means that when a young person for the first offense were to get in trouble, and there are these offenses early on in 22, 23, and 24, but now it's changed. It used to be unauthorized use, but no longer it's unauthorized use. And, you know, you have assault second degree, you have larceny, you have malicious destruction of property, and you would have CDS possession. And my understanding is the first time the young person has an offense, the police arrest them and then divert them right away to Monzi that has the service providers. We had heard about it, I believe, the beginning of the year, January, February, but we found out it was really happening in April when one of my prosecutors received the email that was forwarded from Monzi through BPD, forwarded us the email about a young person that we had charged with a car theft. And I guess Monzi had wanted us, my office, to dismiss the case because the young person was in the program. Well, my office had already spoken with the victim. The victim wanted to proceed, and so we let them know that we were proceeding. once that came about, then my team went to a meeting, and we found out, you know, you have to talk to victims, you have to give victim notification and things like that. So, look, the program was moving forward. We at least wanted to make sure it complied legally and things like that. Where I understand it, because under the consent decree, Baltimore City Police Department, I believe they must have some form of diversion program for juveniles. I get that. But we weren't at the table, and we can't really support diversion programs where they're victim crimes. A non-victim crime, loitering, trespass, even a CDS possession, first time, I'm not necessarily opposed to that. But if you're going to involve a victim, we can't support diversions for victims because victims have to have their say.
The state's attorney, Ivan Bass, again, thank you for joining us. I was always under the impression that the state's attorney office already had a diversion program. Is it something similar? Do you have a program like that already in existence?
No, we don't.
Okay.
As a matter of fact, it used to be that diversion programs always ran through the state's attorney's office.
Yeah.
Now, we've been looking to try to put together one, but right now we just felt that, okay, we're in the middle of a crisis. We need to deal with the crisis before we can try to focus on some of these diversion programs. Now, we would love to do a diversion program for, once again, non-victim first-time offenders. We're okay with that because we want young people. Remember, the juvenile system isn't about penalty or punishment. It's about, you know, helping the young person. So we want to ensure that that young person, first-time, non-violent, non-victim case, we're willing to give them the services. But we really feel that this program should really run through the state's attorney's office because, one, we can monitor the young person. So if they don't complete the program, we can go ahead and hold them accountable and prosecute them. The court will know what was going on. And there's a different level of checks and balances so we can see and monitor them. Are they repeat? Like, you know, with the way this program's set up, we didn't know anything about it. So we don't know what young people have been involved, what young people haven't. My understanding, there's been 55 young people, and they've spent almost $800,000 in terms of the services for the young people.
Wow.
We don't know the service. We've seen the service providers on paper, but we don't know who are the service providers that provide the services, what's going on with the young people or anything like that. And once again, the information we have in terms of the number of young people and the amount of money came from press releases from Monzi, but the young people actually came from the media.
Wow. Wow, that is very interesting. I wanted to ask you, because you touched on this just a bit, are victims notified when some of these juveniles are taken to either the SciStep program or they're on the ACL monitoring system? Because from all appearances, it doesn't look like these kids are being monitored 24/7.
Well, the way that the system's supposed to work is there must be victim notification anytime, and that's the way the system's supposed to work. Now, for whatever reason, it appears that SciStep wasn't doing that per se. And once again, you know, my biggest issue, and I don't really like to criticize people or anything like that, but I think what happened is you had people that had good intentions, but they didn't understand the nuances of the law. And that's why I think sometimes it's important that these programs run through prosecutors' offices or the court system, because we understand the nuances of the law. So my team came in and said, hey, you know what, they're not necessarily notifying the victims, and you must. So my team even provided the victim copies of the victim notification paperwork so they could comply with the law. You know, we're not here to the program's moving. It's happening. There's nothing I can do about that. However, we can do everything we can to make sure we support the following of the law, because at the end of the day, we in my office, we feel very strongly we have to be the voice and the advocates for victims.
Yeah, and if you're just joining us again, we're joined by State's Attorney Ivan Bass. We appreciate your time. You know, when I hear about this program, and then I heard about the fact that sometimes Monzi is deciding at intake, when a juvenile is brought into DJS, they're deciding whether or not this person will end up in SciStep. Is that not like kind of playing both judge and jury? Because I guess I'm wondering who makes that decision or who makes that call to put that juvenile in the SciStep program?
Well, you know, look, 1,000% is not something that my office is comfortable with, because you're correct. There's so many different issues you need to make, so many different issues you need to think about, so many different issues that could pop up. Number one, have we informed the victim? Let's look at the background. Let's look at the type of program. Let's look at the incident. Let's look at the young person's role within the incident. You know, just the fact that they don't have a criminal conviction, but have they ever been involved in any of this type of behavior before? And those are types of things we need to think about. but we're not there. I do believe, like you're saying, it is some sort of a judge and jury in the sense they're making that decision. I would like to have a better understanding what's the criteria, what's not their criteria. I don't know enough about it. And once again, this has been a program, unfortunately, it's been a little bit of a mystery to my office and my team. But once again, I must also say, under the consent decree, BPD is required to have some sort of juvenile diversionary program. So I'm not criticizing the fact that they're doing everything they can follow the consent decree because their goal is to get out of the consent decree.
Yeah.
My issue is the way that, you know, we just weren't notified so we could also have a seat at the table.
Yeah. Yeah, that you would think that would be a very important piece there. Moving on from that, State's Attorney Ivan Bates, we saw, unfortunately, a woman by the name of Bonnie Griffith, 69 years old. She was killed in a collision with juveniles that had stolen a car. We were told, and hopefully that is this is the correct information, but there were four juveniles in the car. One was still at the scene and taken to the hospital, and that's when we found out a little more information about that specific juevenile. But I know that you have some things that sometimes impede investigations, like the Child Interrogation Act. But my question for you was, you know, were you able to, was yourself, the prosecutor or BPD, to your knowledge, were they able to question this juvenile involved in that collision? Because I believe there are still three suspects on the run, are there not?
Well, my understanding, this isn't a Baltimore City case, it's actually a Howard County case. I did have the opportunity to speak to my colleague, Richard Gibson, and this is a juvenile. But without a doubt, when it's a juvenile, the laws of the Child Interrogation Act, so no, they can't talk to the juvenile unless the public defender or the defense attorney, but here most likely it's the public defender, agrees to that. So unfortunately for this young person, they appear, you know, if you have them at the scene and they're the only one that you have, you don't have anybody else, then that puts this young person in a terrible position because let's say, for instance, and I don't know anything about the case per se, but hypothetically, let's say this young person wasn't the driver, but they were the backseat passenger, and no one's ever going to say anything else. And then now this young person could potentially, you know, put themselves in a situation where they're able to give information to hold other people accountable. And so, look, I think this is a perfect example where the Child Interrogation Act doesn't help us in terms of law enforcement, but it also doesn't help the young person because now they're put in a situation where they're the only person there, and sometimes the only person there, the only person, you know, holding the bag, so to speak. You know, I have, you know, look, I don't know what Rich Gibson's going to do. I know him very, very well. You know, you do have, you know, a potential now young person who could be looking at adult charges, and now you're looking at a potential adult homicide. So, you know, this is a very, very serious case, and it's cases like this when you look at the Child Interrogation Act that impede the opportunity to have a thorough investigation.
Yeah, well, fair enough. And I apologize. It was Howard County. I apologize, you know.
Oh, no, it's okay.
Yes, yeah, so putting you on the spot there. I did want to ask, if I could, when it comes to, and I, you know, this might be something that you're working on or maybe not, but this is something that I followed very closely way back when, and that was with Detective Sean Suter, and whether or not it was a suicide or a homicide or what have you. The last I checked, and I could be wrong, so I wanted to ask you, that this case could possibly still be active. Is that correct, or was there a closure to the case?
Well, what I'll say is this. I can't really talk about it because in our mind, you know, it is still an active case. We're sitting there looking at everything. We're looking at it from a number of different angles, you know, and things like that. And so from us, you know, we until someone tells us differently, then no, these types of cases like that will still always be open.
Still, okay, that's what I wanted to ask about that. Also from the audience here, and again, if you're joining us, this is State's Attorney Ivan Bates from Baltimore City joining us this morning. I have a question for Robert. He's asking, when someone is sentenced to 20 years, it usually ends with, most of the time, that the sentence is suspended. Why is it that the judge gives them 20, 15, 10 years to begin with if they were going to suspend so much of it?
Well, everything is a little different. So one of the things could potentially be you have sentencing guidelines. So from our standpoint with the sentencing guidelines, an individual may do an offense and say the maximum penalty for the offense is 20 years. But the sentencing guidelines, and these are what there's a commission that says, hey, first-time offender or has a small minimal record, their guidelines should say be from 3 years to 5 years or 3 years to 8 years. And say then we get a sentence of 20, suspend all but 7. So we are sentencing within the guidelines, but the thing is now you have the amount of jail time hanging over their head so that if they do violate probation, you can monitor them when they're released. If they violate the probation, then they can get up to the rest of the 20 years. So there are a number of reasons sometimes why you would offer a sentence like that. Oftentimes in our position, it's the sentencing guidelines. Anything could happen in terms of cases. You could have a case where you have a victim who doesn't want to participate or a family member on a murder case that says, you know, I just can't live through hearing what happened to my loved one. So, you know, oftentimes with us, some of the sentences that you see, we make sure the victims are feel in the victim's family. This is what they want. But we also have to balance in terms of public safety. Is this person a threat? What type of threat are they? And what is the type of monitoring that makes sure we can hold this individual accountable?
I see. All right. And I'll wrap this up with two questions here real quick. Lisa wants to know, have you considered running for mayor?
You know, right now I would say this. I'm 1,000% focused on being the state's attorney for Baltimore City. I love the job. But one of the things I think people don't realize, I ran for the position to really make a change. There's still work that we have to do. I do plan on running again, you know, for next year. But at the end of the day, I like public service and I love public service. So for me, you know, when I finish this job and I feel comfortable, then I can sit down. But the other thing, you know, part of the reason I ran was because, you know, I wanted to have a better city for my daughter. And I really, really enjoy being able to be a father first and foremost. And so, you know, if it came and I was, and if that's what the people wanted, I would think about it. But right now I'm focused on being the state's attorney for Baltimore City.
Sounds good. And I know that you have a town hall coming up tomorrow. If you could just give us a little bit of information on that.
I do. And this is really huge. So we're talking about juvenile crime. And one of the things I'm really big in, okay, we talk, but we need to have some solutions. What are we going to do to fix the situation? So tomorrow at Cuba Memorial Baptist Church, Pastor P.M. Smith, right there off of 5700 Lock Raven Boulevard, from 6 to 8, we will have a program called the Solutions Pack. It will be live streamed. I believe Fox 45 is going to live stream it. But we're going to talk to a number of individuals about what can we do about juvenile crime. The juvenile system is set up. How can we hold young people accountable, but how can we make sure we also protect the community but give young people a chance? Once again, the juvenile system is about making sure that we can rehabilitate young people. But we also have to ensure that we keep our community safe. And what solutions do we have? Summer is coming. We've been talking about it since I've been in office. What can we do? And we want to hear from you, the public. What are your ideas? One of the things I think is very important, if you're a politician or you're an elected leader, please don't believe that you know everything, because we don't know everything, and we need to listen to the people. And so tomorrow is about listening to the people. What ideas do they have? How do they feel about certain things? Because people want to say, oh, juvenile crime is down. I'm a big believer that your perception is your reality. For some, it may appear to be down, but for others living in certain neighborhoods, it's up, and it's terrorizing them. We want to hear from you. We want to know what ideas you have, and what can we do to fix this system so that everybody is safe.
Well, State's Attorney Ivan Bass, thanks again for joining me. I really do appreciate it. Don't wait so long to come back on the show, because, of course, we always have questions for you, and we appreciate the work that you're doing.
No, thank you so much, Juan. Thank you and your listeners and everything. You have a great day.
You too. You too. All right, everybody. We'll be right back to discuss.
Hi, I'm Dr. Melissa Segev, one of the doctors and owners of Audiology Associates. Our group of doctors has been providing hearing and balance care in Maryland for over 35 years. Audiology Associates has grown to include 11 offices throughout Maryland, including the Eastern Shore, Annapolis, Baltimore City, and Baltimore County. I would like to talk to you today about balance problems, also known as dizziness. One out of every 10 patients who visits their family doctor complains about dizziness. 25% of the time, balance problems are related to the ear. At Audiology Associates, we can not only diagnose the cause of your balance problems, but if it is appropriate, we can also provide a treatment plan. You need not be bothered by dizziness anymore. So call our main number at 410-944-3100 or visit our website at aaiaudiology.com to make an appointment. Your initial consultation is covered by almost all insurance plans. So call 410-944-3100. Audiology Associates, when silence is not golden.
Hey, attention, Maryland business owners. Did you know that you've been paying into a program that can upgrade your lighting for free? Now, it's called Empower Maryland, and if you don't use it, you lose it. Now, every month, your electric bill includes a small charge that funds energy-saving upgrades, and now you can claim your share to replace any bulb or fixture with new energy-efficient LED fixtures at zero cost to you. Here's how it works. If we can reduce your energy use by 30% or more, you qualify for a 100% free lighting upgrade, whether you own an office, a church, or even a government building. And these LEDs, they last up to 20 years. Now, last year alone, we completed 424 projects, saving Maryland businesses thousands of dollars. So don't miss out. Call now, 855-4-FREE-LED. Call now, 855-4-FREE-LED. No job is too big or too small. Call now. Start saving today.
Hello, I am Italo Liberatore, owner and operator of Liberatore's Ristorante of Bel Air, inviting you to come and see us again and try some of our everyday and weekend specials made by our new chef, Cody. You love the new touch and the creation he brings to our dishes. Makes me hungry just thinking about it. See you soon. Visit us at the Liberatore's of Bel Air and online at Liberatore's.com. Liberatore's.com.
Custom home builders and remodelers. Find Jarvis Appliance in Jarrettsville, so dependable and easy to work with that Jarvis has become the go-to supplier for builders throughout Maryland and Pennsylvania. They provide appliances on time, within budget, and at the right price. Remember, if it cools, freezes, washes, dries, or bakes, sizzles, or air fries, you'll find it all at Jarvis. Go to JarvisAppliance.com. That's JarvisAppliance.com. Jarvis Appliance in Jarrettsville.
Find out the truth and hear the stories other media won't cover. Listen here and tell your friends, family, and co-workers to turn on Talk Radio 680 WCBM and 99.9 FM in Hartford County.
All right, I tried to get in as much as I possibly could. Again, thank you all for sending over your questions. As you heard there, Lisa, State Attorney Abebe said he is focused on the state attorney job, but he did not say he would not one day run for mayor. I caught that piece, okay? But he is focused on the position he currently has. As far as the sentencing, sounds like I saw, Robert, you texted in the text line that you heard his answer to that. And so I think you even mentioned earlier, Robert, that you believed if they violated parole or probation, then possibly because of that suspended sentence, that would mean that they were held accountable at a higher standard that you see usually for certain crimes on the streets. I did like the fact that, you know, look, even though he's not in Howard County, he was able to respond to what happened as far as that collision that killed Bronnie Griffith in Howard County with the involvement of the juveniles in a stolen vehicle. And I'm glad that he talked to his colleagues about it, because the Child Interrogation Act, that was always my concern, is that even if that kid was in the hospital, they still would not be able to talk to him. The Child Interrogation Act, that was a bill that was passed on the state level, right? So that would obviously be in Howard County as well. So when we get back, we'll talk a little more about that interview that we just had with the state's attorney. And then, of course, I do want to play some sound for you because I did ask him about Detective Sean Suter. Interesting answer there as well.
With SRN News, I'm Rich Thomason in Washington. President Trump and the First Lady sending well wishes to former President Biden following Mr. Biden's prostate cancer diagnosis. The president writes on Truth Social, "We extend our warmest and best wishes to Jill and the family, and we wish Joe a fast and successful recovery." It was a rare Sunday night vote that saw a key part of President Trump's agenda advance in the House. The House Budget Committee, advancing the president's big, beautiful bill, providing tax relief, stepped up border security, spending cuts, and fiscal reforms. A potential Ukraine ceasefire is a subject, as President Trump and Russia's Vladimir Putin speak by phone this morning. New Jersey transit trains resume operations first thing tomorrow morning as engineers end their three-day strike. The Dow down 61 points. More details at srnnews.com.
Nothing can be more frustrating than working hard your entire life, saving as much as possible, then watching your money go down right before retirement. Mike Kinnett, Ryan Herbert, and the team at ProStatus Financial can help. They're going to sit down with you personally to create a complete retirement plan, which includes the 401k X-ray, income analyzer, tax planning analysis, and estate plan review. This is up to a $2,500 value, and it's complimentary for the next five callers who have at least $500,000 saved for retirement. Congratulations, you've done a great job of saving. Now call 866-597-1040 and let the team at ProStatus Financial help you protect, grow, and distribute your wealth in the most tax-efficient manner possible. Call ProStatus Financial today at 866-597-1040. That's 866-597-1040. Advisory services offered through ProStatus Group, LLC, a registered investment advisor, insurance license in Maryland.
Now, Gary Stein on sports.
Different manager, same result.
Now Dylan Cruz will stand in.
Dylan Cruz gets under one to left center. See you later. Mullins gave it a great effort. And Dylan Cruz with a towering drive.
Call courtesy of the Mid-Atlantic Sports Network. Dylan Cruz's three-run shot was the third of four given up by Zach Eflin as the Nationals. Amid Oriole off-the-field weekend chaos, Cruz to the sweep, 10-4 was the final. After the game, interim manager Tony Mancelino was asked if the events of the last couple days have affected the team's play.
This was tough yesterday, there's no doubt. I don't think that when you walk in that clubhouse, I don't think that they're feeling sorry for themselves. And I don't think that their compete has diminished in any ways.
The Birds finished 0-6 on the homestand. They've lost 12 of their last 14 and dropped to a season-worst 15-30 overall. Coming up in 30 minutes, Larry Comas' outstanding call at Preakness 150. And that is Stein on Sports.
Hey, it's Kim Klasick. When it comes to something as important as your roof, you want a company that's been there and done that. That's Wallace Roofing and Construction. They've been in business for over 90 years and are family-owned. No subcontractors, just quality, trusted workmanship on every job, residential or commercial. Call Wallace Roofing today at 410-655-3700. That's 410-655-3700. And tell them Kim Klasick sent you. Wallace Roofing, above all, a good roof. MHIC number 1566.
Your Fox 45 forecast. Mostly sunny, little breezy, but nice and warm today with highs in the upper 70s. Mostly clear and quiet tonight. A little cool as temperatures dip back into the low 50s. More sunshine for your Tuesday with highs in the cooler low 70s. And then the rain returns. Plan on rain showers midweek with much cooler temperatures Wednesday and highs in the mid-60s. From the Fox 45 Weather Authority, I'm meteorologist Amy Aronson for Talk Radio 680 WCBM.
If you love Wendy's classic chocolate and vanilla Frosty flavors, they have some big news for you. They're announcing all new Frosty Swirl and Frosty Fusion flavors. So it's the same creamy treat you've always loved, now with a flavor refresh. A refresh on a classic? Gotta be Wendy's. At participating U.S. Wendy's.
It only makes good dollars and cents to get more years and miles from your vehicle with a quality remanufactured engine from Jasper Engines and Transmissions. Jasper engines are assembled by skilled ASE technicians who care about their work, live run tested, then backed by a 3-year, 100,000-mile nationwide parts and labor warranty. Call Jim Barbie Automotive in White Marsh and drive away with the security and peace of mind that only Jasper and Jim Barbie Automotive can provide.
Joe Hartman here, owner of Perry Hall Investment Group. Now is a great time to sell your unwanted property for top dollar with no commissions or fees. Call me today at 410-989-5200. That's 410-989-5200.
Stop feeling embarrassed about thinning hair and start looking and feeling your best with Hair Grow by New Nordic. Available online at Amazon, Walmart.com, and NewNordicUSA.com or at your local CVS.
The Rob Carson Show.
If you don't understand why the American people behind Donald Trump, honestly, just shut up and sit down. You've been wrong about every single thing. If you've never gotten home from a hard day's work and you were filthy dirty, if you've never worked in a job that Americans supposedly won't do, if you've never driven a truck across the country every day your entire career, you won't get Trump. You don't understand it.
The Rob Carson Show, weekdays noon to 3 on Talk Radio 680 WCBM.
All right, good morning to you. Happy Monday. You know what? If you missed the interview that we just had with State Attorney Ivy Bates, don't fret, don't worry. It will be at WCBM.com. Just tap the Kim Klasick Live link, and the podcast is archived there after the show. Of course, we're also on all podcast platforms. You can go to TuneIn, you can go to Apple Podcast, and you can listen to it there. And then I will most likely take a clip of it out and post it on my social media pages later this afternoon. Real quick, don't forget, Delegate Ryan DeRocky does have his event this evening at Pool's Brew in Middle River / White Marsh, because I know some people call that Middle River, some people call it White Marsh, but it's at Pool's. And he's having his fundraiser, and I will be there as well. So please, if you can, come on out and support Delegate Ryan DeRocky. And don't forget, you'll see most of our delegates and state senators there. They're hosting their fundraisers now because they're not able to host them during session. And of course, we need to make sure that they have the money they need for literature, for signs, and everything that they'll need when they run for office again and hopefully retain those seats. Because you know what? Our Maryland Freedom Caucus and the Republicans we have in Annapolis right now, I don't want to lose any of them. I don't know about you, but I don't want to. And I want to make sure that we grow and we actually gain more seats this election cycle. So please come out tonight to Pool's Brew, because I will be there again with Delegate Ryan DeRocky and so many others. I wanted to just touch real quick, if I could. I didn't get to ask State Senator Ivan Bass about Adnan Syed and obviously Haman Lee's family. I was trying to prioritize there with the time that we had, but I would love to know, and I may make a search online, I would love to know how her family is doing now that he is out, as, you know, time served. But I was able to ask him about Detective Sean Souter, and he said that he could not talk too much about that case because apparently it is still an active case. And that was my question, because there were so many different things that were said at that time. And again, this was so long ago. I mean, it's just, it's unfortunate, honestly, that his family, in my view, are still, you know, sitting in limbo, because I don't believe they really have any closure or justice on any of this. And of course, there were many theories about what happened. Many people believe that he was heavily involved with the Gun Trace Task Force. And of course, you know, you had David Simon, who was the producer of The Wire. And then after that, We Own This City. And with We Own This City, when it was discussed, when Detective Sean Souter was discussed at that time, David Simon said that he believed absolutely that Detective Sean Souter ended his own life. Of course, there are many people that still believe that that was not the case. And if you look at how the manner of death was ruled, it was ruled a homicide, not a suicide, by the medical examiner. And I figured that it was still an active case. I just don't know how much of time is being put on this. Obviously, we don't have a ton of people. I would say, you know, as far as detectives, as far as patrol officers, I mean, we know that we're short, and I'm sure, and I'm not certain, but I'm sure that State Attorney Ivan Bates and his prosecutors are extremely busy as well. But I did want to play this sound for you, because David Simon, again, the producer of The Wire and We Own the City, he was asked about Detective Sean Souter on a podcast. And I am not a fan of David Simon, by the way. I think, you know, the way that he did The Wire and even We Own the City, I thought if there was anybody that you could point to that really took advantage of the city's woes, I would say that it's David Simon. Now, on the other side of the aisle, you'll have people say that it was me with the red dress video walking through Baltimore City that put the city to shame. But if you've ever traveled outside of Maryland, a lot of people, if you ever say, oh, yeah, from the Baltimore region, they'll say, well, is The Wire real? Is that real? You know what I mean? It's like that's the first thing they say. But, you know, those people, it's fine. Place blame on me. I don't really care. But I thought that David Simon made a very compelling argument on this podcast. That's why I wanted to play this for you. Take a listen.
I was at the Boston Globe when the New York Times owned it. The way they treated us was pretty grim. So and they owned us. We have a Twitter question. Can I ask you a Twitter question? Because, you know, we got one. So I think we should use it. This is very pinpoint. What do you think happened with Sean Souter? Can Baltimore policing be, quote unquote, restored?
It can be, it has to be, but it will be a long road back. As I said, the institutional memory in that department is vulnerable. If I were the police commissioner, I would be hiring back, not as sworn officers, but almost as advisors, as consultants, the retired police who once knew the job, or maybe guys who work for federal agencies that have investigative skill, and I would be planting them in units as non-sworn advisors to start retraining the fundamentals of police work. So that's, I mean, it was a long time building that this horrifying edifice that the drug war made. It's, you know, the journey of 1,000 miles, one step, got to do it. What happened to Sean Suter? I'm probably getting one episode ahead of where we are, but someone asked and here we are. If you understand the evidence, if you look at the practicalities of every single piece of physical evidence, Sean Suter took his own life. It's just there. You know, I don't think we look, you know, as filmmakers, we took our responsibilities here very seriously. We looked at everything in the independent review, in the original homicide file. We looked at all of what was there. We looked at all the physical evidence. But I'll leave your listeners or your viewers with one thing. If you imagine, because you're inclined to think the worst of the Baltimore Police Department, and certainly in this miniseries, I'm not exactly delivering their best. So I wouldn't be adverse to saying Sean Suter was assassinated by his fellow officers because he was going to testify. But I'll give you two things that just make it fundamentally ridiculous to be premised on that. The first is that he had been named by other officers who were already indicted in their proffer sessions as having taken money early in his career. And there's no incentive for them to do that because they're trying to get a deal. And if they screw up, if they say anything in their deal that's not accurate, they could lose what leniency they are being given for their early cooperation. So they have no incentive to name somebody who isn't involved in the earlier corruption. So I think Detective Suter knew that the other shoe was about to fall. I don't think he was going to be indicted. I think, you know, they were talking about things that were beyond the statute of limitations. He wasn't targeted in any way, but he was going to lose his job. And that was made clear to him by the federal investigators. So he knew that even before he went into the grand jury. But the second thing is really more telling. If you're, let's imagine the worst, the most dramatic conspiracy theory that gets everyone excited. Let's imagine that his fellow police officers want to assassinate this man because he's getting ready to testify. Why in hell would you have him out in an alley on a West Baltimore street and fight him for his own gun? It makes no sense. If you want to make it look like, you certainly don't want it coming back to you that you assassinated him, but it's easy enough to just say he was out on the streets of West Baltimore, which is a dangerous place for a cop, and somebody drove by and shot him. You know, you shoot him twice, you make sure he's dead. You take the gun and you throw it in a it's not a police weapon. You throw it in the sewer and you're done with it, and let the cops try to solve it. Why would you go into that alley and fight him for his own weapon? He shot with his own weapon. It was a scenario that from the moment any intelligent investigator heard it said, you know, you could lose that fight. You could end up getting shot yourself. You could end up, you don't know what's going to happen. This is a grown man. You're going to fight him for his weapon with his partner 8 seconds away. And right. The partner's story checks out. The partner did what he said he did. So you have this man who is shot with his own gun at point blank range, presumably fighting with a suspect. And from there, you get to the idea that suspect was a cop who was, it's insane. It's, an, you know, but we have a capacity to want the most dramatic and excitable narrative to prevail. But unfortunately, in doing this miniseries, I felt a very fundamental responsibility to follow the facts as they were. And I don't think anybody who looks intelligently at what happened there believes anything other than this man had motive, and he created a circumstance in which he tried to make his own taking of his own life look like a death in the line of duty.
All right. Again, that was David Simon. He was on a podcast. This is when We Own the City series was dropping. You know, they had multiple episodes. So he joined this gentleman on his podcast to talk about Detective Sean Suter. This is one of those cases where I can't, you know, something just always on your mind, right? And I say that that's a very compelling argument for David Simon because, yes, he was essentially, Detective Sean Souter was essentially shot with his own gun. The only way that I would think, because, again, I thought about this way too much. The only thing I would think is that it's possible that Detective Souter got into a fight with someone with his own gun is if he trusted that individual that approached him, right? If you had a colleague that you worked with for years that approached you, you know, on this lot, and I've actually been to the lot where he, you know, where his body was found there. The lot, if you could imagine, with the vacant row houses in West Baltimore, it's just, it's not a place that you would want to even step foot in, let alone end your life. But if you trusted somebody that approached you, and they got close enough to, in fact, take your gun, or perhaps there was, you know, something happened. It's just, it's so tough. And then you saw the video with it, and like the way that he ran in between the homes, Detective Sean Souter, he ran in between the vacant houses, and that's when his life was taken. And it happened so quickly, so quickly. So then you would have to think that he didn't really take time to think about taking his life. But like I said, David Simon there makes a very compelling argument. Why would someone risk having that fight with Sean Souter? I don't know. But again, we're talking about this because State's Attorney Ivan Bass did join us on the show. He said it is an active case. Again, the medical examiner ruled it as a homicide, even though there are some people that believe that it was a suicide. And I don't know what the answer there is. I did consider the fact that maybe possibly it was ruled a homicide so that the wife and the family could end up receiving the benefits from the life insurance policies. I think it's different when it's a suicide. So I don't know. I don't know. But if it's an active case, look, I'll continue to watch and follow and see if they get anywhere else with that case. But that's just one of the cases that has always intrigued me. Especially after visiting the lot myself, I just kept thinking to myself, there's just no way. It was on Bentalo Street. There's no way he took his life in between these vacant houses. But how else do you explain it? I don't know. We were talking about juvenile crime, obviously, with State Attorney Ivan Bates. I've got Lori in Dundalk. Lori, did you want to weigh in? Hello, Lori? Oh, sorry. Okay, Lori, please call back. Please call back. I probably, because I came out of nowhere with that, right? Because I was talking about Detective Sean Souter. Lori, please give me a call back. We'll talk about the juveniles. While she's doing that, I did want to just say congratulations to journalism. That was the horse that won the Preakness. I hope journalism goes on to beat sovereignty in the Belmont Stakes. And that's because you know that I'm bitter about the fact that sovereignty did not come to Preakness and try for the Triple Crown. And I know many of you don't agree with me. You said that this horse needs a break. But just think about it. The journalism was a favorite to win at the Kentucky Derby. Had journalism pulled it out, and I don't know if you guys saw that quite a finish there with the, I was able to stream it, but it was quite a finish. Journalism came from behind. The horse was actually, in my view, was caught between two other horses, and it was able to really sprint out. And journalism won, and I was shocked. But at the same time, I thought, wow, had Sovereignty came to town, and you know, Sovereignty might have been journalism, like Sovereignty beat journalism at the Kentucky Derby. And that's another thing for me, you know. So here's journalism, you know, really beating the streets because journalism was at the Kentucky Derby, and then journalism, you know, did this finish here at Preakness. And as far as I know, journalism's headed to the Belmont Stakes. So how come journalism isn't tired and Sovereignty? Sovereignty is. I'm sorry. I can't let that go. Look, if you're going to have horses in the race, right? If you're going to try, why not go for the Triple Crown? Why? I mean, if you are a jockey, if you are the owner and you're training this horse, wouldn't you want the big shebang? I think you're just selling yourself short. Well, anyways, congratulations to journalism. Congratulations to all those that won money. I did see a lot of the outfits and the hats and all the fashion at Preakness. I think some people understood the assignment. Some people, you know, showed up like Baltimore usually does. And usually it's like you have this, like the look, right, where you're supposed to like really look classy and elegant. And I saw some looks online where I thought, Wow, that's interesting. I thought Dawn Moore, Governor Westmore's wife, I thought she looked great. I thought there were many people that looked great, but I saw a couple women. They had like two-piece outfits on and showed a lot of skin. And then they just had like the fascinator hat. And I was thinking, that was not the assignment. That was not this. You know, it's like there were so many people that showed up like in costumes. And if they look at the Kentucky Derby, I feel like in Kentucky, a lot of people got it right. Now, does everybody get it right all the time? No. But to show up in like a two-piece with like a midriff, I don't recall that being the look. But I saw many photos with many young women with like, you know, almost like two-piece swimsuit things on with like a cover-up on the bottom. It was very strange to me. I don't know. I did see the poll question that we had last week. I asked you guys if you were going to Preakness. 100% of you said no. 100%. So perhaps you guys didn't see what I was talking about. Lori, thank you for calling back. You wanted to weigh in about the juvenile crime?
Yes, ma'am. First off, if anybody gets upset about you in that red dress, it's because they're envious.
Oh. Thanks, Lori. Because I was just trying to point out the problems.
You are a beautiful woman, and you look beautiful in that dress, okay?
Thank you.
So that's their problem. It's not yours. If you don't look like him, then I'm just going to say, okay?
Thank you.
So I wanted to say, you know, I think the state's attorney in Baltimore can't be a better person. I think he's true. I think, you know, what he said about having a child, I think he wants the area better and safer. But as an older person, because I just turned 64, you know, we're the ones that are getting knocked down, dragged down, you know, here's my pizza. No, I want your money. Bang. And, you know, I mean, it's just ridiculous.
Yeah.
It's overkill that these young people are doing. And, you know, if you get dragged off for a couple days or a month or something, and the elderly person is forever broken, that's not punishment in our eyes. I'm sorry. You know, it's not punishment because we did nothing wrong.
Yeah.
And we're the ones that have the broken bones and the things, you know, happen to be in wheelchairs and everything. We're the ones that have to suffer for people's hatred and for their mamas and daddies not standing to the plate and taking care of their children. Because if I had done anything like that, my mother would have whooped me. I would have never been able to sit down.
Yeah. Yeah, Lori, you and I both, thank you so much for calling in. I appreciate you. I hope you have a great week. And she's right. I mean, it's a shame, but hopefully they'll get on top of it soon. Coming up next, we will be talking about the Federal Hill shooting. Apparently there are people in Federal Hill that are shocked by it. Can't believe that.
Hi, it's Jonathan Cotton with the Good Feet Store, and when you think of high-impact professionals in our community, who comes to mind? For me, nurses are right at the top of the list, given their care for my loved ones over the years. At the Good Feet Store, we often engage with nurses who are battling with pain in their feet, knees, and back, and they come to the Good Feet Store looking for relief. Here is Donna, a nurse sharing her story of what she experienced after visiting the Good Feet Store.
Oh, I have to tell you, I have struggled with pain in my feet. I was diagnosed with plantar fasciitis. With the three-step program, it really fits to your lifestyle. I'm a registered nurse, so being on my feet, walking throughout the hospital during the day, I am free from any type of pain. And after working a 12-hour shift, I go home and my feet do not hurt.
Whether you're a nurse or anyone wanting to enjoy your career without your feet getting in the way, come see us at the Good Feet Store. The Good Feet Store is in Annapolis, Hunt Valley, White Marsh, and now open in Columbia. Visit goodfeet.com to book your appointment today or just stop by.
Planning your upcoming wedding or special event? Hilton Garden Inn in Owings Mills will create a menu for your special event and create a room block for your out-of-town guest. Enjoy their indoor pool and fitness center. Wake up to a delicious cup of coffee and made-to-order breakfast at the grill. Reach out to Lori Ruby in the sales department for your upcoming catering and events. Call 410-654-0030. You can always count on Hilton Garden Inn, Owings Mills, making it right.
Attention small business owners. Imagine cutting your overhead and putting more cash in your pocket. Whether you're a restaurant owner, hairdresser, doctor, lawyer, run a spa, HVAC company, or an electrician, your small business has untapped value. Bank the value of your expertise and spend it on what your personal or business needs. Why pay cash for products and services when you can trade your downtime and excess inventory? Barter Saves works with and helps thousands of local business owners in Maryland, D.C., Virginia, and surrounding areas. Visit bartersaves.com today or call 800-9-BARTER and turn what you already have into everything you need.
Finding assisted living is tricky enough without someone trying to trick you. That's why at Lorien, they don't tell you one thing on the tour, then something else after you move in. They tell you exactly what to expect, from their transparent pricing to their robust available medical care with a licensed nurse on site 24 hours a day. Lorien was Maryland's first assisted living location over 45 years ago, and they strive to be Maryland's most reassuring now. Their pricing calculator provides a great start. Try it online at LorienMakesSense.com.
If you love Wendy's classic chocolate and vanilla Frosty flavors, they have some big news for you. Announcing all new Frosty Swirl and Frosty Fusion flavors. So it's the same creamy treat you've always loved, now with a flavor refresh. A refresh on a classic at participating U.S. Wendy's.
Stay connected and informed with the latest news at the top of every hour. Then talk about it.
Wouldn't you like a little excitement for a change?
On Talk Radio 680 WCBM. And WCBM.com.
The views and opinions you hear on Talk Radio 680 WCBM and WCBM.com are not necessarily those of the owners, management, employees, and advertisers of WCBM.
All right, I'm going to put a pin on it when it comes to Detective Sean Suter. I know, bringing up stuff from the past. I guess, and like I said, it's just one of those cases that I continue to think about. I got a couple of text messages here. Marty says you might want to get Jeremy Eldridge on the show. He was once the Suter family attorney. That's a good point there, Marty. Also, I got a couple of people says that they believe that it was a suicide. My friend Mitch, he said he, after looking at the documents, he believes that it was a suicide. And I understand that. But even as David Simon pointed out, I don't think he would have been arrested. I don't think he would have been indicted. He would have been most likely like this witness and someone involved with the country's task force. But at the same time, you got officers that get into trouble in many states, and that record doesn't actually follow them. That's one of the things that people don't like about police officers, is that, you know, they might commit a crime as an officer, say, in the state of Maryland, but once they get to, say, Pennsylvania, that police department won't know, this is from my understanding, won't know about that crime, and they can then be hired at that police department, say, in York, Pennsylvania. That's, from my understanding, that's how this works. So even if he was fired in Baltimore City, I recall that the Suter family lived in Delaware. Why not then just be an officer in Delaware? Or would it have been just that high profile that he would not have been able to get a job? See, these are things that I think about, and I need to stop. I'm hurting my own brain. I'm doing it to myself. All right, coming up next, I'll go back to the polling question. If you haven't already, go to WCBM.com. Take part in our poll brought to you by Renovation Real Estate. Also, we're going to talk about Federal Hill. There's been another shooting. Yes, another one. And Federal Hill residents, they say that they're confused that there's so many shootings. Meanwhile, they voted for this. So I don't know why they're confused, but we'll talk about it.
I'm Dr. Melissa Segev, one of the doctors and owners of Audiology Associates.